On April 5th, 1982, in Memphis, Tennessee, Andy Kaufman, the actor, comedian, and intergender wrestling champion, had his first wrestling match with a member of his own sex. The opponent was a very serious wrestling favorite named Jerry Lawler. Here now are the results of that match.
Only the second move by Lawler, and bang goes Kaufman. It's going to be a disqualification. Danny Davis, his manager, not believing it. Jerry Lawler, 6 minutes and 50 seconds with a pile driver, has been disqualified. The winner by disqualification, Andy
Kaufman. Tonight, for the first time on network television, they meet face to face. Here are Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler. Have a seat, if you will. First of all, gentlemen, thank you. Thank you very much for being here, Andy. Let's take care of your neck injury. Now, when was the match? April 5th, right? Mm-hmm. And it's now almost August. Do you still need that neck brace on there?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
Are you in a lot of pain?
Well, I'm not in nearly as much pain as I was, and it's healing, but it's still enough to wear the brace.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. One of those kind of nagging, lingering injuries that...
I don't know what you call it, but I just have to wear the brace.
Now, when I see Jerry here, I've never seen the man in person before. To me, you'd have to be nuts to want to get into the ring with this guy. He appears to be maybe twice your weight, and he's better looking. I'm just teasing there, you know. But what was your motivation for wanting to fight him?
Well, I had had so many matches with women, and I always won, and I started really believing that I was a good wrestler. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, I'd beaten women the bigger than him. I really thought that I could beat him. And I also, when I started getting worried and thinking maybe I couldn't beat him, I thought I would just run away from him the whole time, and I couldn't do
that. Now, Jerry, was there ever any doubt in your mind that you would have any difficulty wrestling Andy?
Not really, no doubt at all. You see, I don't want to sit out here and pretend that I'm friends with this guy because I think he's a wimp. You see, when Andy was born, his father wanted a boy and his mother wanted a girl, and they were both satisfied.
Now, just a point of order here. I don't know a great deal about wrestling, but it looks to me like you gave Andy that second pile driver after the bell. Now, that didn't seem like a really sportsmanlike thing to do.
See, I noticed a small smattering of boos from the audience and everything. And I think that the people have gotten the wrong impression from all of this. You say that wasn't a sportsmanlike thing to do. But everybody that sees Andy Kaufman the way he is now, you know, Mr. Nice Guy, very lovable, the Latka character and everything, this is not the Andy Kaufman that I saw. Because he sent a lot of interviews and clips into Memphis insulting me.
As I recall, Andy, you kind of just egged him into this, didn't you?
I was just teasing in fun.
Just teasing in fun.
I brought some of the small clips of things that he said about me, about some of the women that he wrestled.
All right, so let's take a look at some of Andy's harassing work that Jerry Lawler had to endure via the United States mails. Some videotapes. You made these yourself, right, Andy?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
you and Lawler,
you
think you're really being smart, and so you look, I'm from Hollywood. That's where we make movies and TV shows. I tape Taxi in Hollywood. I make movies in Hollywood. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not from down here in Memphis, Tennessee. Okay. I'm from Hollywood, and I want to have the respect that I deserve. When I come here, I want people to respect me because I am a star. I am a Hollywood star. You got that?
You know what, Mr. Lawler? I've heard all these things you've been saying about me on television. You want to wrestle me? You want to wrestle me, Memphis style? All right, fine.
I'm going to send you back to the kitchen where you belong. I'm going to have you scrubbing the potatoes and washing the carrots.
Yeah.
because that's where you belong.
Matter of fact, they're probably smarter than you because you don't have any brains. You're from Memphis, Tennessee. All you do is plow the fields and farm and farm and blue. Is that how you talk from Memphis, Tennessee, Mr. Lawler? Boo. See, Mr. Lawler, you don't have any brains. I'm from Hollywood. I have the brains. That's how I win my matches. I say the bigger they come, the harder they fall. You might be twice as big as me, but I've wrestled women that are twice as big as me, and I've mopped the floor with them. And that's what I'm going to do with you, Mr. Lawler.
Well, we'll pause here and regroup. We're going to take a time out for a commercial.
Yeah, you could be mad when you see something like that.
Well, we'll continue this discussion right after you folks at home take a look at this. Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman are here, and we saw the tapes that allegedly provoked Mr. Lawler into the match. Andy, why did you do that? That didn't seem like a very nice thing to do there.
I don't see how a person could get so mad from that. I was playing bad guy. That's what I was doing. I was playing bad guy wrestler. It was a role I was playing. I wasn't serious about it. I don't take things like that seriously. Like, I am a star. That was just a role I was playing.
Yeah.
You know?
So, in your estimation, Jerry,
and I think that he just was taking it too seriously.
You think he owes you an apology?
Look,
then.
I always said you didn't have a sense of humor, and here the people are all laughing at it.
Mm-hmm.
So it proves my point.
Yeah.
That's why I came here. It was because I asked for an apology. I apologize for all the wrestling I've ever done, all the abuse I've ever given the people that didn't understand what I was doing, and I simply think that apology is in order.
So it's come to this, has it, Andy? You want Jerry to apologize. Uh-huh. Now, is this the way, would that be an equitable thing as far as you're concerned?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think I owe him an apology. I think, you know, he says it was all a big joke. I'm sure it was to him. I think he came down there with the intention of...
Did you want to hurt him?
Well, yeah. I thought I had to hurt him.
In all the matches I ever had against 400 women, I'll tell you, I was bigger than most of them, a lot bigger, and I never, not one time did anyone ever get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I never had to prove anything. I never had to hurt. I was always very gentle with everybody.
Well,
I wrestled.
You know, it's something that I take very seriously. It's the way I make my living, and he comes in making a joke out of it. He did it, he did it all for publicity. That's why he's still wearing, I don't know if it's a neck brace or a flea collar. I mean, you know, this. Sure, it hurt, but you don't need it this long.
I was in the hospital.
He's milking it for every bit of publicity he can get. That's all he's doing.
I had to spend 3 days in the hospital in traction, and I was given this neck brace in the hospital. It's a very real neck brace. It's a real thing, and it's something.
It's been 5 months ago.
Yeah, it seems
been
a little.
People been in car wrecks and other, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't think that there was any. It wasn't really called for to do. You could have. I could have been killed, and I could have been had my neck broken.
But on the other hand, I mean, nobody actually forced you into the ring, you know.
That's right. I don't come out here and try to do stand-up comedy or anything like that. You know, I'm a wrestler. You're a comedian.
If you were the man that you think that you are, then you'd apologize. You're the man that you think that you say. Because you're always talking about being a sportsman and how you're such a
I never
great
say
athlete.
Anything about being a sportsman.
Let me.
Well, I thought you're a professional athlete. You're always talking about sportsmanship, and sportsmanship isn't to go in the ring.
Athlete.
And if it's a professional
you're a comedian,
sport,
you should stay telling jokes.
It's a professional sport.
Like
you don't
stay
have to go in the ring. Yeah, well, I was going in the ring, and this is something that I was doing, and it was no reason
as
to hurt
joke,
me.
Right. It's
yeah,
not a
well,
joke.
As
to
a
me.
Joke. Yeah.
Well, it's not a joke.
Well, it wasn't a joke.
Did you laugh after when you were laying in the hospital? Was a joke then?
No, it wasn't. But there wasn't any reason to purposely hurt me. You could have proven the point by just beating me. You want to prove what a big man you are.
Let me just clear up one point here. There are a lot of people watching who probably view wrestling as being a show, a display, a demonstration, and this may be as the pinnacle representation of that. It was this thing. Fixed or rigged? Are you guys really friends? Was it
no,
a scam?
No, not at all. I can warm up to this guy. We were cremated together. He is a wimp. That's exactly what he thought. That's what he thought about wrestling. He thinks it's all a big joke, a big fix or whatever. And then you're right. There are a lot of people that think that.
You're nothing but a redneck.
Well, there's...
And you're just trying to prove a point because I was a Yankee and I heard this from so many people in Memphis. I was going down there and because you believed all that stuff that I was...
There are a lot of people that think that, David. And he was one of them. Mm-hmm. And I did to Andy exactly what I would like to do to everybody that thinks that way.
You're lucky I didn't sue you.
It was a chance to show him exactly what it's really like.
If there were, would you...
Because let me tell you something. My father said, my manager said, they all said that I had a right, I could have gotten a lawyer and I could have sued you for what you did and I didn't. And I just, all I want is an apology. Even you asked me last time I was on your show if I was going to have a lawsuit,
right,
and I could have sued you. I could have sued you for everything you're worth. Well, and I didn't because I'm not that kind of a guy.
Yeah. You know what?
What kind of a guy are you?
You're not the kind of guy you are.
I'll just be over here. We're going to pause here for station identification and get the hoses out here. No. Hi there, and welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. As you can tell, Andy Kaufman is here, sort of, and Jerry Lawler is also here, and there's some nights I wish Tom were here, but that's not the case. Is Andy, are you coming in here again, or?
I am sick of this bullshit. You are full of bullshit, my friend. I will sue you for everything you have. I will sue your ass. You're a motherfucking asshole. As far as I'm concerned, you hear me? A fucking asshole. Fuck you! I will get you for this! I am sorry to use those words on television. I apologize to all my fans. I'm sorry. But you're a fucking asshole! A fucking asshole!
I think you can use some of those words on TV. I'm not. But what you can't do is throw coffee. I've said it over and over again. Well, that about wraps this segment up. I want to thank my guests, Mr. Lawler. Jerry, thank you very much for being here, and good luck to you, sir. And my thanks to Andy Kaufman. Okay. Thank you.
We take off through that bayou.
Wait a minute. Who elected you leader of this outfit?
Well, Pete, I figured it should be the one with the capacity for abstract thought. But if that ain't the consensus view, then hell, let's put her to a vote.
Suits me. I'm voting for yours truly.
Well, I'm voting for yours truly, too.
Okay, I'm with you fellas.
Oh, Bob is sending the Undertaker for the ride. Oh my God. The Undertaker. Couldn't get him all the way up. He got it when he could. Hogan tried to block it. It's all not over. Hogan didn't get the full effect of the choke slam.
Oh, he blocked most of it, and look at him.
And Hogan with another adrenaline rush. It's called hooking up. And Hogan with that one knee, now looking up in the eyes of his challenger. Undertaker's giving Hogan a hell of a lot of shots, a lot of punishment, but Hogan is trying to come back.
Uh-oh. You know what this means, Undertaker?
Hogan scores the right hand. Undertaker sitting down for the ride. Big boot. The big boot by Hulk Hogan. Hollywood Hulk Hogan looking for the leg drop. It's got to be over here. Here we go. Over. My God, the Undertaker kicked out of Hogan's vaunted leg drop.
Hogan can't believe it.
And Hogan is up.
Look at the look on his face.
He's mildly shocked. I don't blame him. But Hogan.
His audience can't believe it either. But
Hogan lowered his head. Hogan lowered his head and made a very uncharacteristic mistake. The DDT, the arm over. Will it be? Oh, Hogan got a shoulder up. Right shoulder coming up, and Hogan's got to reach down again.
Yeah. Sure. Now what you gonna do, Hogan? Hey, wait a minute.
What the hell is this about? Mr. McMahon's got no business out here. The owner of SmackDown. Mr. McMahon, I don't like the looks of this at all. Referee trying to disarm the Undertaker, and Hogan took the chair right back into the Undertaker's face. Oh, leg drop. That'll be it there. There's a cover. 1, 2, 3, 4. McMahon distracting the referee.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't do that.
And Hogan bringing the SmackDown owner in the ring.
No. I don't think you should do this. Don't do it.
Hogan bringing the smoking gun has been destroyed. Oh, look at this. Oh, the chair shot to the back of the head. The choke slam by the Undertaker. And the Undertaker beats Hogan. The Undertaker beats Hogan.
The winner of this bout, and new undisputed WWE Champion, The Undertaker.
McMahon is pleased that Hollywood Hulk Hogan has lost the WWE Undisputed title to the big, nasty red devil, The Undertaker. The Undertaker with that chair shot. Referee Earl Hebner detained by Vince McMahon. And now The Undertaker telling the referee to put the Undisputed Championship around my waist. The Hogan name will fall. The Undertaker name will be added to that piece of gold.
Wahoo McDaniels jumps you from behind. He says that he is the World Heavyweight Champion. You have the championship belt back now, but he says he is still the champion.
You know, Dave, I don't even know where to start with this. You see, there are certain people in our sport that you respect because they have been a man, or they are a man, or someday in their life they're going to be a man. Let me tell you about Wahoo McDaniels. You see, he was all pro 7 years in professional football. He was an All-American in college. He came into the greatest sport in the world, professional wrestling, and he never took a back seat to anybody. He climbed to the top because he worked hard, and he sweat, and he paid the price to get on top in his sport. Wahoo McDaniels was the man. And when I started wrestling, I wanted to be just like Wahoo McDaniels. I wanted to walk around every big city in this country and have them say, there goes the kind of man that represents professional athletics the way a man should. But you see what's happened to Wahoo? Is he can't stand being second best. He's the U.S. champion. And brother, wearing the U.S. title means you're the number two man in the whole wrestling world, second to only one, the world champion. Wahoo, I got the belt back, but I don't want it back if you're a better man than me. Just show me, and I'm not saying wrestle by the rules. Forget about the rules. Just get in the ring and be a man. Look at me in the eye. Tie up with me. Chop me, punch me, kick me. But do it to me face to face. And give me the opportunity, and I have it, to look you in the eye and knock your teeth out and break your nose and open your head up and jump on your head and break your leg. You see, guys like you and me and Dusty Rhodes and Fernandez and Ole Anderson, we're from the same mold. We're blood and gut guys. We thrive on this sport. But you've taken a shortcut. And I'm going to see to it. I don't care where you're sitting right now or how hard you're laughing. I'm seeing to it. And I've got you the next time I'm here. Forget about the $1 million. It means nothing. This is what it's all about in professional wrestling. This is mine. And I'll tell you right now, Wahoo, you will never put your hands on this again unless you're man enough to leave me laying in the middle of that ring. Woo!
time, the host from Glasgow, Scotland, Mr. Rowdy Roddy Piper. Why don't you sit down for a second? Why don't you sit down for a second? You just sit down there. Why don't you just sit down there for a second? Nobody ever gets to talk to you, do they, huh? One thing, by keeping you here in this chair, the first thing we know that there ain't any hubcaps missing in the parking lot, huh? No, sit down. Are you what? Tell me something. You're one of them, you live in Philadelphia?
Yes, I do.
You do live in Philadelphia? Oh, wait a second. All these people are going, yeah, all right. Tell me that the 76ers say that every time they play Boston, huh? I know, first of all, that I was going to interview a pretty lady from Philadelphia. My problem was I couldn't find one. Look around you! There's a lady. There's a pretty, the one with the spiked hair and the no bra. I give you a chance, I give you freedom, yeah, I have been to the mountaintop, I give you freedom, I will give you a one-way... Philadelphia. If I was to give you, first of all, who is your absolute favorite wrestler?
Ken Patera.
Ken Patera? She's from your hometown. If I was to give you a one-way ticket, I'm talking one way, I would pay all your expenses, and whatever. You could go to Hawaii, you could go to San Juan, you could go to any place you wanted to go, but you could not come back to Philadelphia. Would you take
If it was New York.
If it was New York. So would you go? She would leave a one-way ticket to the Bronx. She would give up for Philadelphia. Hey.
Come here.
I like this too. I think that's all right. I give that to you.
When am I going?
When are you going? To back to New York, baby. I'm going back tonight. You go and pack your bags, because you got yourself a date now. Now, I understand something. Wait a second. Wait. I like those cute little things on your socks and everything else that's on that leg. You see, the problem is there's a fellow named Joe Frazier.
He had a hard time.
I like that. You see, Joe Frazier is the number one son of Philadelphia, was the world's heavyweight champion, yet you put some goofball named Rocky Balboa and put a statue of him in front of your Spectrum like he's a big deal and he lives in Los Angeles. You tell me that makes any sense. Joe Frazier, who was supposed to be here, all of a sudden, Joe Frazier is not here. And from what I understand from AC Baby, he had transportation trouble because he did have to come all the way across town, you know. And that must have been hard for Joe. Joe never got over Manila, you see. That's your problem. Now, if Joe Frazier was here, I was going to give him the boxing lesson of his life. I was going to tell him why he should not be in T's corner. But then again, I realized that Frazier is used to staying in the corner of a loser. So what? How do you think I would do against Joe Louis?
I think you'd knock him out.
Isn't it? How do you figure I would do against Mr. T? Yeah! And how do you figure?
I think you're going to beat him, Roddy, but watch out for that left hook, Eddie.
What do you mean, watch out for the left hook? I don't got to watch for nothing.
He's got a good left hook.
That don't make no difference to me, man. I'm the one to pay you. Don't you tell me to watch out for his left hook. It don't matter to me. I don't care if he got a left hook or he don't got a left hook. It don't matter to me. I don't care, man. Don't you tell me that kind of garbage. Wait a second. I love you.
I love you.
Looks like I stole another Philadelphia.
Well, obviously, Smoker Joe Frazier must have had some problems getting to the arena here tonight because doesn't seem to be that there's going to be an interview with him. I don't know, Rowdy made some very derogatory remarks. I hope he doesn't. Well, he's going to meet up with him come April 7th, for sure.
Not only that, but put down Philadelphia and some of the ladies in Philadelphia. Well, fans, we'll be right back after this.
I tell you, with a father like Killer Kelly, it's a miracle neither one of you turned out to be a piece of shit criminal.
You see me coming, you better run.
Things weren't right. My complexion, she said, is much too white. He said, come here and stare up into the light. And said, you're right, let me tell a second mother it's been done. But the second mother with the seventh son, they were out on that highway to 61. Roving down Lewis Berry Ford, trying to create the next world war. And he found a promoter, fell on the floor and said, I've never engaged in this kind of thing before. But yep, I think the county easily died away. Just with some beaches that
is slow.
Get a new business or move out of the neighborhood.
For instance.
Oh! What are you doing?
Right next to your old man. Just next to the room.
Must have fainted. All right.
All right.
Shoot me, Colonel. Just try.
Thank you.
jealous of you, old man. Bravo. Family resemblance. Here.
Naturally, between brother and sister.
My God. My boy, you become rich. It's all for you. I think you deserve it. A partnership. Maybe next time. Trouble with my attic.
all right now.
Yeah.
horror.